24 hours of bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle. CBS News, the official death toll continues to climb in the aftermath of the Guatemala earthquake. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Emergency Relief Committee now says more than 15,000 people died, 40,000 people were injured, and more than 200,000 were left homeless. Other relief officials are now estimating the death toll may reach 50,000. Looting has become a problem in the disaster area. Police have been ordered to shoot looters on site. At least five have been reported executed. Communications between Guatemala and the outside world remain strained. It was apparently that problem which allowed 39 American tourists to arrive in Guatemala City the day after the earthquake hit. The tourists, mostly Western Kentucky farmers on a 10-day Latin American vacation, were in neighboring San Salvador. They had planned a trip to Guatemala City and were told their rooms were ready and everything was all right. That was not the case when they arrived, as one member of the tourist party explains.
With all good intentions, they brought us there, and we didn't know that, you know, they had had an earthquake or all this was going on. And when we came to the, we stayed at the St. Francis, the Ritz Hotel, Continental. When we got there and saw the walls out, the windows out, well, we were just, you know, frightened. We thought, my land, how can we stay in this? And some of them said, well, we're not going to even go to bed.
Elizabeth Hushman and the other 38 tourists were finally able to book flights out of Guatemala this weekend and returned to the United States. There may be new developments in the trial of Patricia Hearst Monday in San Francisco. Prosecutors say they will ask the judge to accept into evidence a tape recording in which Ms. Hearst boasts of her willing participation in the violent bank robbery with her SLA kidnappers. And Patricia may testify herself in a special hearing on the admission of certain evidence. More on the story from George McManus of station KCBS in San Francisco.
Court will reconvene outside the presence of the jury, and Patricia Hearst may be called to the witness stand. Meanwhile, the defense is having a film of the San Francisco bank robbery analyzed. The movie, made from photographs taken by bank cameras, features close-ups of Patricia Hearst speaking. The prosecution claims the picture shows that she's a dirty-mouthed terrorist. Defense attorney Athlete Bailey says she spoke simply to identify herself as Tanya Hearst. Patricia, or Tanya, moves like a marionette in the jerky slow-motion movie, which Bailey has sent back east for study. He says they'll try to show by lasers, scanners, and computers that the 21-year-old defendant at one time simply opened her mouth in surprise as an SLA member triggered two bursts of gunfire. George McManus for CBS News, San Francisco.
President Ford campaigned in New Hampshire over the weekend. In one statement, Mr. Ford said he totally supported Transportation Secretary William Coleman's decision permitting the Anglo-French Concorde to land in the United States for a 16-month trial period. At the University of New Hampshire, the president was heckled and booed by some members of the audience. However, there were more periods of applause than boos. Mr. Ford told the college students that until more research is done, he does not at this time favor the decriminalization of marijuana. At an earlier news conference, the president was asked about former President Nixon's trip to China. Mr. Ford would only say that Mr. Nixon would be traveling as a private citizen and refused to say whether he approved or disapproved of the trip of the former chief executive a few days before the New Hampshire primary. Mr. Nixon released a statement tonight through a former aide saying he was going back to China because his visit in 1972 was the start of a new and constructive relationship indispensable to peace, and it should be continued. More CBS News after this.
Did this ever happen to you? You see or hear an ad like this. Dining room set, only $99. But when you get to the store, they tell you, we already sold it. Or instead, they show you a set that's in really bad shape. And then they try to sell you another set for $299. This is Gene King for the Council of Better Business Bureaus. And this practice is known as bait and switch. Something is advertised for a very low price, that's the bait, and they don't intend to sell it. And then the salesman tries to sell you something more expensive, and that's the switch. Bait and switch is illegal. Don't fall for it. Here's how to protect yourself. Be suspicious of any attempt by the salesman to sell you something you're not really interested in. If the salesman refuses to show you the advertised item, take your business elsewhere. And if you have any doubts at all about making a purchase, don't sign anything until you've checked out the offer completely.
Palestine Liberation Organization leader Yasser Arafat says the CIA was partly responsible for the 10 months of civil war in Lebanon. Arafat made his comment in Beirut during an appearance Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press.
There is a conspiracy against the Lebanese people and the Palestinian people and the Arab nation. And according to my information and analysis, the conspiracy had been planned by the help of imperialistic powers, and especially by the CIA and the Zionistic powers, and especially by the help of Israel itself.
Arafat said he had proof of the CIA involvement. The PLO leader said this was not the time, however, to release it. Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook: showers likely at times with periods of partial clearing tomorrow through Tuesday. Highs in the mid-40s, lows in the mid-30s. And in downtown Seattle, currently 43 degrees, 42 at the airport. The barometer rising, it reads 29.89. And taking a look at sports, the Seattle Supersonics lost another one. In overtime, Phoenix 107, Seattle 101. Golden State beat Portland 109-105. Elsewhere today in the NBA, Detroit over Kansas City, Chicago dumped New Orleans, Cleveland beat Washington, it was Los Angeles 97, Atlanta 89, the New York Knicks defeated Boston 97-89, and Philadelphia beat Buffalo by a score of 100-97. In the ABA, Denver 116, Kentucky 114, San Antonio over Virginia 112-105, and the New York Nets dumped Indiana 110-104.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Marshall, won't you sit down and relax with me for the next, a little less than an hour and listen to a tale of murder? Or is that statement exactly fair? The dictionary definition of murder is the unlawful killing of another human being with malice aforethought. Well, undoubtedly, there is killing and malice aforethought, but the question here is what or who was killed.
Don't try to blame it on me. It's always blamed on me. I won't take it any longer. I won't take the guilt.
Where else did it lie?
Not on me. Not on me ever again. I'll make sure of that. I'll kill you.
How can you kill what was never alive?
Only one way. I'll tear you apart.
Yes. Yes, without you, I have no life. What? You have left without me.
I no longer care. Tear you apart, limb from limb, socket by socket.
Freddie, in heaven's name, what are you doing?
I'm destroying what is destroying me.
But there is no act without the two of you.
There is no me, as long as he exists. You know that better than anyone, Sarah. That is done. Forever. Maybe now I can live. Maybe it's worth murder to achieve some kind of freedom.
Our mystery drama, The Voice of Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Victor Jory. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Time Magazine. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. The touch to height you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
Based on EPA tests, Buick's midsize Century, with available automatic transmission and a Buick V6, got 17 miles per gallon in the city test and 25 in the highway test. Of course, those figures are only estimates. The mileage you get may vary. But what it means is this. Buick's V6 Centuries with automatic transmission got better overall EPA mileage ratings than any other U.S. midsize with automatic transmission. Nice going, Buick. In California, see your Buick dealer for EPA figures.
I don't believe it. Tell me again.
Okay. The Internal Revenue Service has over 80 free publications to help answer all those taxing questions you have on your mind.
Uh-huh. What if I'm a flagpole sitter whose pole was attacked by termites?
All right. Flagpole, termites. It's publications 547 and 584.
An ant left me an elephant, under 12 years of age, for me to care for.
Mm-hmm. Adolescent elephant, 501.
People throw money when my 98-year-old uncle lifts weights at the beach. Is that income?
Mm-hmm. 554 and 525.
Does the IRS have an answer for everything?
Well, just about. There are over 80 free publications for the asking at any IRS district office. You can write for them by using the order blank on your 1040 tax package. Yep, over 80 tax answering publications. Free from the IRS.
Ventriloquism, one of man's most ancient arts. It's as old as the Chinese cultures, and almost certainly it was practiced by priests who created such seeming miracles as the speaking statues of Egypt and the Greek oracles. Down through the millennia, it flourished. And when it became sheer entertainment through vaudeville, radio, and TV, it reached its highest popularity. Then, as suddenly, ventriloquism suddenly lost its popularity, a fact that Janus the Great is not yet prepared to face.
Who was I? Fat Freddy Goldstein from the East Bronx, a little schlep. I was scared to go to school, even. They beat up on me all the time because I wouldn't fight back, and it was funny to watch a fat kid cry. Then I read an ad in the paper and saved up my lunch money to send away for Professor Fantasorio's magical method of voice projection. Amaze, delight, and mystify friends and foes alike by the ancient and mystical art of ventriloquism. It changed my life because for some reason it was easy to me. I mastered the art in a month and held a golden key that unlocked the world for me. At 16, I was playing parties and school dates. I got in at the very end of radio's golden era. But where I really hit it big was television. By then I was calling myself Janus and Alias. And then, suddenly by the late 1960s, I was a has-been. The gold all faded. The club dates I played were a disaster, and a lifetime of splitting myself in two ended in murder.
Fred, look what you've done to him. We'll never put him back together now.
What do you care, Sarah?
What do you mean?
Isn't this the way you've always wanted it?
Oh, Fred, you're sick.
You always thought he came between you and me.
Who?
Him, the dummy.
I never said that once all these years.
But you thought it.
Well, he was always the first thing in your thoughts. You combed his hair, pressed his clothes, washed his face. Even behind his ears, like he was a child. He never even kept him in a box. He was always there, wherever we were. We were never alone. You even used to talk to him off stage. Yes, I was jealous. Now maybe I'm glad you've destroyed him. Maybe now we can have what you'd never let me have.
What? What did I ever refuse you?
A child? A child of my own?
How could we have a child, Sarah? Always on the road, always moving, living in hotels. Children weren't for us.
You could have left me behind with our child or our children.
And travel alone?
Don't you think that I could have gone ahead and had a child? How could you have stopped me? But I didn't because...
Because?
It wouldn't have been fair to the child. It would have been my child, not something we shared, just as he was your child. Oh, Freddie, what's wrong with you? How could you have done that to him?
It doesn't matter. He's gone.
Well, let's see if we can't put him together again.
No! Leave him alone. Don't touch him.
Fred!
He's dead. Smashed. He couldn't be repaired, and he's not going to be repaired, because there's nothing to repair him for.
Darling, what is it?
Don't you see? I'm as dead as he is.
You got fired again.
I'm through, Sarah. It's all over. There's no Janus the Great.
No, that isn't true, darling. You're tired. You've been overworking. A good night's rest.
What am I going to do? We have no money. I have no other talents. I'm back once again to where I began, Fat Freddy from the East Bronx. When I killed Alias, I might as well have killed myself. I had no rest that night. What a night it was. After Sarah, worrying herself frantic about me, finally got to sleep, the things began happening. The first pain when it came was so intense and piercing that in spite of myself, it... My God! I bit my lip till the blood came, trying to stifle my cry so that I shouldn't bother Sarah. But my arm felt as though some giant had broken it across his knee. And then the second one came. A blow that compressed my brain and sent it spinning.
Dear God, what's happening to me?
Fred! Fred! What is it? Darling, are you all right? Oh, it's 5 a.m. You're still awake.
Sarah, a dream. What a dream. I felt like I was broken on the rack.
I'll get you some aspirin. You're coming down with something, mark my words.
I'm coming down with something, all right. Tomorrow, first thing, I'll take care of that.
Take care of what?
What I did to my poor little dummy. Tomorrow, I'll go to the professor and see if he can put Alias together again.
If that's what you want.
Never mind if it's what I want or not. It's what must be done.
So now you've made up your mind. Maybe you could sleep a little.
What I am, I am. Too late to change about the dummy and me. But one thing it isn't too late for is a child. If you...
Oh, what could I do with a child? I already have one in my arms. Sleep a little, darling, sleep. And maybe we could find a new tomorrow.
I could sleep now. The pains were all still there, but dulled and able to be forgotten. I nestled close to Sarah, and she held me close. And suddenly it came, the blessed curtain of sleep. And the wonderful feeling that all the decisions had been made and the future smoothed away.
You did this to my creation?
Professor, I paid you for him.
For the intricate balance of wire and joints that gave him reality. And more than that, the control of the eyes, the mouth, the tongue between the teeth, a model of the human figure, a scarce step below actuality. He's been destroyed beyond belief. It's vandalism. It cannot be repaired.
You must forgive me, Professor Manzini, but my art is a lost art, and yours may be too.
What? What do you say?
We live in a world where miracle, illusion, magic are forgotten. Words and symbols mean little more than what they state.
We live in a world where nothing that is said, no words, no statement means anything at all. Yes, you were right about our profession. I've had my dissatisfactions, too, which have led me deeper and deeper into the recreation of form, the humanoid form, the complete replica of man. I am so near, Janus. So near.
What are you saying?
I've created a dummy.
No.
Forget that awful word. A robot. Half life size. Capable of everything. Movement, reaction, everything except actual speech. By electronic control, you can move this figure, activate it, make it sit or stand or bend. But to make it speak, that is beyond me. Only a master of ventriloquism can affect that. Will you lend your artistic talent to my mechanical genius and create a new miracle?
Need you ask? I'm desperate.
You don't have to worry any longer, Janus. Here, come with me a moment. Let me show you my new masterpiece. There he is. How do you like him?
Why, he's... his face. It's the exact image of mine.
Well, I had to have a model. Who better than you? Here, take this control. Ask him to get up and come to you.
What do I call him?
Well, he's you to the life. And it's a great title. The great genius and, self. Yes, that's its name.
Self. I am Janus. Will you come to me? Do you want me to be your master?
Well, why don't you make it answer?
I'm trying to, but... maybe I'm out of practice. I'll try again. Do you know me? Will you answer me when I talk?
If you tell me the answers...
How did you find Chicago?
I just got off the plane, and there it was.
I don't know if I want this dummy, Professor.
Oh, the elements are sensational. This is only a working model. Let me build you the complete dummy, and you'll thank me forever.
I've told you, Professor, I haven't the money.
Yes, I know. So I'll offer you a proposition. I'll build you a humanoid that will walk, move, bend, jump, do anything you ask it to. That's my contribution. All you must provide is the voice. That is beyond me. We'll go into a simple partnership, 50-50, on all our earnings. Will you accept that?
I don't have to put up any money to own a humanoid that moves and acts like any other person?
You will pay. Now leave. I must get to work. I will finish, self. Arrivederci, Janus.
Arrivederci. How will I know?
I will call you the moment he is finished.
I don't know how to thank you, Professor Manzini.
Oh, yes, my sometimes friend. No need to thank me. Nor will you want to when I'm finished with you. Murderer, assassin, to have killed one of my children. For that you will pay. I could have struck you dead today for what you did to one of mine. But I stayed my hand a little while. I have other plans for you than just revenge.
Professor's apparent kindness is only a mask to hide his revenge for the destruction of one of his creations. But how does he expect to accomplish that? And what other plans does he have in mind? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Well, your big TV debate will be on the air in 30 seconds, Senator.
Fine, Hank, fine.
Don't worry, sir. You're the incumbent, and you'll eat him up.
Right.
Oh, there's your opponent now.
20 seconds, gentlemen. Hank, what's my opponent carrying under his arm there?
It's a Time magazine.
Oh, no. It's probably this week's. I haven't even read it.
Easy, sir.
Hank, he'll be on top of everything. World affairs, law, economics, the movie reviews. I'll sound like a dodo out there.
10 seconds,
he'll
please.
Be bright. He'll be witty and
out. Senator, don't put your thumb in your mouth.
Unless he only had time to look at Time magazine's cover. Oh, no.
Stand by, please.
Hank, I don't even know who's on Times cover this week.
Sir.
Can you see who's on Times cover?
No, I can't.
What if they ask me who's on Times cover? What am I going to say?
And now, the candidates debate. On the left, we have the incumbent Senator
Ethel Merman. No, she was on the cover of something else.
Senator...
Alice Cooper or Abe Beam?
Senator, all we want...
I know what you want. Is it a picture of a shark?
Just the name.
The shark didn't have a name. Give me a hint. Rover,
Senator.
Rex, Blackie.
Time makes everything more interesting. Including you.
If I could leave one thing with you when I'd leave the dirt behind, I'd like to leave a brightening sky as my gift to all mankind. If I could choose just one small thing to the children I'd bequeath, a life forever and healthy, something nice to breathe. Yes, this is my legacy. This is my prayer. Most of all, I'd leave you all with a breath of your fresh air.
Air pollution is a man-made product that grew up in a machine age, the result of a means to an end. But the end must change if we're to continue breathing. We can clean up the air, perhaps even in your time, but we need your help. Won't you? Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
Ventriloquism. The name is a misnomer, since its Latin roots mean simply speaking from the belly. In actual fact, the illusion is produced by depressing the vocal cords, pulling the tongue inside the mouth to create words, and by keeping the lips from moving. Still, practiced by a master, the illusion is indistinguishable from reality. So much so that the great English philosopher Henry Moore was moved to say, "Who knows, but some of his counterfeit ventriloquists may prove true ones." Which is another way of saying, which is the dummy and which is the master.
When I got home to Sarah with the news about the new act and how I was sure it would put me back in the headlines again, she was less enthusiastic than I'd hoped. Oh, I knew she was pleased for me, but behind the pleasure and the love in her eyes, I could sense a darkness, a foreboding, she couldn't hide.
I'm so glad, Fred. You know what a fierce old warrior the professor is. I thought he'd never forgive you for what you'd done to his masterpiece.
So did I. But I think this new thing he's building is what saved me.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, he's an exact replica of me, like a twin brother.
Just as long as you'll be happy.
You're not?
Oh, I don't know, Fred. This one is so big, so different. The other little fellow was like a child.
Don't, Sarah.
I wouldn't care if you drove a bus or sold shoes or collected trash. At least I'd have you to myself.
You've always had me, Sarah. There's never been anyone else.
Oh, women I never had to worry about. No matter how they gathered about you. You're a very handsome man, Fred.
I have to be. Look at what I married, the most beautiful woman in the world.
An old lady like me. Since I first saw you, there was nobody but you for me.
Now you regret it?
Oh, never. It's just that I'm so completely yours, all of me. I wish only sometimes I could have you to myself the same way.
But you do. The dummies, alias, any of them. They aren't your rivals, darling. Not in any way.
Are you sure?
I raise my hand to God.
Oh, no, don't.
Why not?
Because you're only lying to him and to yourself. Don't you see, Fred, they're all your children. The children I never had, the children I can't share.
Why have you stuck with me all these years?
Because I love you. The part of you I've had. But I wish Oh, how I wish I could have had all of you.
Sarah, listen. It's going to take the professor a couple of months to finish the work on self. Cy Kaplan can take care of all the bookings. I've already talked to him, and he's sure we got a smash going. I got all the material I need, and Joe and Irving can be running me up some topical stuff. They'll do it on spec for me. So why don't you and me just run away?
Run away?
You pick the spot. Just so we have enough cash or can borrow enough to make it. Bermuda, the Bahamas, Mexico.
Oh, Fred, I can be packed tonight.
We had nearly 2 months on an island in the Caribbean where the beach from our cabin stretched as far as you could look from left to right. The long walks, the swims, the fish diet, and the simple local foods trimmed me down and took 5 years off my looks. Most of all, the peace. And a strange transformation that was happening inside my own mind. From the beginning, I'd always known what Sarah meant by my split personality. From the moment we landed on the island, I had set myself to persuade her that it no longer existed. And in the process, I found that I no longer had to persuade myself. It was gone. I called the professor only once during our long vacation.
Hello?
Professor, it's Fred Goldstein.
Oh,
Janus.
Si, si, come sta, amici?
Wonderful.
Self is not yet finished.
Good.
Good?
I mean... Only that I'm enjoying the only vacation I've ever had in my life, so...
I advise you to enjoy it to the full. When I've completed your alter ego, you will have little time for play.
You're that optimistic?
I am that optimistic. I have an instinct about these things. I think you will find yourself when you see yourself. I'll send you a message soon when I'm ready. You'll come straight back?
Sure, Professor, sure. Under the circumstances, I'm at your command. Till I hear from you.
Ciao.
Driving back to our beach cottage from the nearest little town where there was a phone, I found a host of things running through my mind. How happy and carefree the last weeks had been. What they had meant to Sarah. Paramount overall was my return to my own personal freedom. To being my own man. Not to have to depend on a fabrication of wood, steel, and wires to which I had lent half my own personality. Over which I had to split myself. It was in that frame of mind I should have decided my life. Except when I got back home, the decision wasn't mine. What is it, Sarah?
I don't know. I'm afraid to hope, but I hurt so you've got to get me to the hospital.
What is it, Liebchen?
Well, I think I'm making a better image for you than Professor Manzini with all his skills could ever make. I think I'm pregnant with our child, Fred. Oh, don't let anything happen to him.
It was a wild trip to the local airstrip. A chartered plane and on into Nassau. Sarah had to spend 2 weeks in bed there resting before we were allowed to return home. We wouldn't have left then if it hadn't been for a flurry of phone calls. The professor had finished.
Benvenuto, Janus. Come sta?
Sta bene, maestro. Where is he?
Gently, each thing to its own time. Have you had a good vacation? You look like Othello.
I guess I picked up quite a tan.
And now is your good wife?
Sarah? Oh, she's fine now.
She didn't lose the child?
No, thank God. It was just an early threatened miscarriage. But we got to Nassau on time.
Well, I made a decision while you were gone. Since we're breaking convention, moving into a new relationship, I made certain structural changes.
All right, whatever you decide, you're the master builder.
And you the master magician.
Needs both of us to create the illusion.
True. Just so long as it is illusion. Signore.
Huh?
My pills in the little bottle on the inlaid table.
Here. How many? Do you need water?
No, just nitroglycerin. One under the tongue. I have an old heart that has been working too long. Thank you.
Is there anything else I can get for you?
Not any more than you will be getting me very soon. There. Now I'm all right. You wish to meet your alter ego?
You can imagine. I'm dying to meet the dummy which will bring ventriloquism and me back into the spotlight again.
Baby. It will be the same as before, except that now, physically, he is perfect. You will move, walk, perform any physical function except talk. That is where you are the creative one. There is...
He's absolute perfection. How could you tell him from a human being?
He cannot speak. Only you can teach him that.
Teach him?
Provide him with a voice and language.
Should we dress him first?
Oh, by all means, let us dress him. And then find out what we have. Or as the Bible would have said, what has been wrought.
Together we dress the flexible but unresponsive body. A body so like mine, except so much younger and more perfect. And all the while we worked, this curious feeling whenever I glanced up to find myself looking at me, or me looking at self. Finally, the moment was there to animate him.
So, Ecke, this very small remote control you hold in your hand can make him do everything but speak. Let me show you how the control works. Self, would you make us both a drink? A scotch on the rocks for me, a vermouth cassis for Mr. Janus.
Fantastic.
Well, I showed you before.
But that was a robot. This is a replica of a human being. Who could tell the difference?
No one. They accept us. He needs only one more thing to make him complete. A voice.
He's too terrifying. What right have we to invest a complete human being with a voice?
It's the only thing he lacks.
No. If we are to be an act, there is something also he lacks totally. A brain. The power of thought. Whatever issues from his mouth are my thoughts. My words.
Think of the magic of it all. A figure. Able to move exactly as a human, engaged in a dialogue which you alone control.
But how is an audience conscious of that? How do they know that there is any magic happening before them?
Because at the end of the act, or before, however you build it, you turn this figure around. So? And you open this door in his back, like that. And he is revealed as a robot. A mass of gears, cams, springs, the antithesis of a human. A piece of machinery constructed of moving parts.
Something nags at me and tells me there's a flaw in this.
Oh, you have a mountain of debts. How else do you repay them?
Well, I suppose I'm just a sentimental fool, but somehow you make me sound like Faust. You're right. This is the only way I can dig myself out of debt and start a future for my child. You have an act, Professor. Janus himself. I'll start to work it up immediately, and I hope it'll catch on.
I know it will.
I have a feeling it will. But is it the success I want? I wish I could be sure of that.
Another old-time quote on ventriloquism was one that had an evil spirit speaking in his belly. But suppose by some supernatural act, the reverse were true, that somehow the ventriloquist became the victim, and that the doll, the dummy, the alter ego tipped the scales and took over from him. Let's see what happens when I return with Act 3.
Who will cope with tomorrow for a brighter new day? There's one hope for tomorrow, the children of today.
There is only one hope for tomorrow, the children. Yet there are children in this world right now who have no hope for a brighter today. They're hungry, illiterate, living in misery, and when they grow up, if they grow up, they'll pass on this hopelessness. And it's the world's loss and the world's shame. You can help children to grow up with healthy bodies and educated minds, with a zest for life that they'll pass on to their children and to our world. Won't you please send a check to Save the Children Federation, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. Think about tomorrow.
We've got to save the children and save the world. Help them to grow.
You know, traditionally, credit has been a man's realm. But today, as more women become part of the workforce, they are realizing the need to establish their own credit identity. And this is Gene King of the Council of Better Business Bureaus with a few tips for women who wish to establish a credit rating. First of all, open a checking and/or savings account in your own name, even if you already have a joint account with your husband. Apply for and use at least two credit cards. Open a charge account in your own name at a local store and establish a line of credit at your bank. According to the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, applicants for credit must be judged on their own merits. And if you feel you've been unjustly denied credit, talk to the credit agency or the lending institution, and you just go there and find out why. And if you're not satisfied with their explanation, contact the regional office of the Federal Trade Commission.
Janice and Self were an instant hit. For 2 months, the act was shaped and polished and then brought into New York, where it opened to raves. Show after show was designed and built around them. International offers poured in. A countrywide tour was planned. Only two rifts in the lute. The first had to do with Professor Manzini.
It was the day I was to pick up Self. The maestro had wanted to make a few final adjustments, he said. And I had been working desperately to finally come up with a voice that I hoped was completely humanoid. Sarah felt it was, so did my agent. I was anxious to let the professor hear it himself, but I never had the chance. No answer. That's strange. He knew I was coming. Why would he have gone out? His heart. Professor! Professor Manzini! It's me! Janus, Professor!
He was seated in his old armchair, head lolling to one side, one hand over the chair as if to receive a pellet from a bottle held in Self's hand. Self himself was bent over, frozen in the act of spilling it out of the already open bottle. I took his pulse quickly. Listen to his heart. The professor was dead. I stooped and picked up the control box, depressing the button. You can straighten up now, Self. Give me the bottle.
thanks.
When did you die?
Of course, how stupid of me. What a triumph you are that I should forget even for a moment. At a moment as crucial and heartbreaking as this, that you're only a dummy. Isn't that right?
Yes, Master. That's right.
I shouldn't make you call me that. Do you mind?
Why should I mind? Don't you control me?
Yes, I suppose I do. Except you seem so human.
And a little frightening because I'm so much your twin.
Wait a minute. Well, what's this? Attached to this note is a copy of my will. It makes you the executor and sole heir to all my possessions. May they bring you all you deserve. I have done everything in my power to make sure you will get everything that's coming to you. Did you hear that, Self? You're all mine now.
I am all yours.
Wait a minute. Don't be so fidgety. Let me tie your tie.
I'm sorry, Sarah. It's a schedule. I just hope my voice holds out.
I got some lemon and honey for you. Here, drink.
What would I do without you?
Fred, why don't you give it all up? Who needs it?
We do, till the bills are paid.
Well, not with what the professor left us.
I don't want his money. I want my own.
Oh,
What is it, honey?
Oh, it's just the baby. He kicks so much these days. Regular soccer player he'll grow up to be.
You take care of yourself.
Ooh.
Now, don't worry about me. I don't want to have to start worrying about you.
What else is it you're worried about, Fred?
Oh, nothing. Just the grind.
Well, you'll tell me if it's anything else.
I'll tell you. What could I ever keep from you, Sarah? But there were things I was keeping from Sarah. Things I even tried to keep from myself. Something strange was happening in the act. Sometimes I'd sort of blank out on the stage. There would be periods when I was never sure exactly what had been said. And then there was a growing pressure on my throat, creating a voice that was unnatural for a ventriloquist, no matter how natural it might be to the audience. I went to my doctor about it, and he advised rest. But that was impossible with the contracts I had to fulfill. I took my problems to Sarah.
You mean he talked without you?
I don't know, Sarah. It seemed that way.
But how?
Well, you know the old routine. Just to take, for example, where I say, where were you born? He says, in a hospital. And I say, why? And he says, because I want to be near my mother. I've done it so often. The exchange seems completely authentic. But last night, the strangest thing happened, like it's happened before, I think. Only, maybe I'm crazy.
What, Fred?
I asked the question, where were you born? And he answered,
oh, who cares about me? Where were you born?
And I said, in a hospital. And he said,
why?
And I said, because I wanted to be near my mother. It's crazy. Turned upside down, topsy-turvy. Like he controlled me instead of...
Now, Fred, you've got to quit. It isn't worth it anymore. You're killing yourself.
Why didn't I listen to her? But there was the child to think of and the usual obsession, money. The climax came near the end of my engagement at the music hall. These moments of blanking out in the middle of the act had become more and more frequent. And so had the visits to the doctor for my hoarseness. It took all my strength to go on this performance, except that I knew Sarah was in the audience. I loaded myself with pep pills, gargled, drank coffee by the gallon, and made my appearance. But I was so drugged, shaken out of myself, that the performance was strictly by rote, routine, mechanical, until... So, you think that's funny, do you?
How can I help it?
What do you mean?
What you think, I think, right?
wrong. It's time you learn to think for yourself.
Okay. How come if we have to pretend we're doing this silly ventriloquist act, I don't sit on your knee?
That's a silly thing to say.
Just like everything else I get to. Why?
You're just as big as I am. That'd be ridiculous.
Not any more than the rest of this act. Anyway, why do you always get to sit down and I have to stand?
Don't get mad.
Oh, I'm not the one who's crazy. You have to be if I sound that way.
All right. If you want to sit down on my lap, come on.
Thank you, Daddy. Isn't this just like old times? Let's do Sunny Boy.
When there are gray skies...
What can they all be, Daddy?
Let them all be gray skies.
What'll I do with them?
You'll make them blue.
What's my name?
Sunny Boy.
What about your friend?
When
the moment
friends
Fred had left the prepared
me.
Act,
what'll you let
I had a horrible foreboding that something terrible was wrong.
Do you still have?
And for a long while,
I'll
I sat frozen to my
you.
Seat.
What's my
How could I stop
Sunny
it?
Boy.
The audience Did wasn't far behind me, realizing something
heaven.
Had gone terribly wrong.
You know about me?
And that I awful thing that happens only in actors' dreams was taking place. Right up there on the stage.
Right where?
My husband. Making a fool of himself and seemingly powerless to stop it.
God bless you.
I sat there to the bitter end.
And now for the final unbelievable moment when we offer you the climactic proof of what you've known from the beginning. That despite the evidence of your eyes, ears, and all the other senses, there's on this stage only one living man, myself. The other is, turn around, self, the greatest living robot the world has ever known. A humanoid, complete in every sense, except that he is voiceless. Now, I open the back to prove that he is not alive. Not a human, but a mechanical contrivance of human ingenuity. What's the matter? Where?
This is not your night, Jace.
Why don't you turn around and let the audience know the truth? Turn! Drum roll! Presto, presto! Watch and see the truth!
The audience reacted as always, as the door in the dummy's back swung open. My reaction was horrifyingly different. Because the door that had been opened was not in the dummy's back. But what for 20 years of married life had been my husband's.
What happened out there, Self?
Since we are alone and the time is right, I will reveal myself.
Professor!
None other... I can't tell you how many bodies I've used, stolen their souls from them to house my own. The only children I've ever had are my puppets, my marionettes, my dummies. When you murdered Alias, I made up my mind to take your body and punish you in the process. I've had my revenge. I told you in my will I'd make sure you got everything that was coming to you. I think I kept my promise.
But you're not finished.
The curse that was laid on me is quite specific. I must find a body to occupy for at least 10 years before I make an exchange or descend to everlasting hell. The one I've taken from you will serve. You have your choice. Continue as a voiceless dummy or destroy yourself. I couldn't care less.
Fred! Fred, what is it? Oh, what's the matter?
I have no more use for either of you. I shall leave. Oh, Mrs. Goldstein, you might need this.
What is it?
The control box to make your husband move. I'll even leave you his voice, since it's become so hoarse and unpleasant. Adio. I've had my revenge.
What am I to do with this? Fred, are you a robot now?
I was. I should be. Except that God is merciful, and evil doesn't always triumph.
What do you mean?
I don't know exactly, but listen to me.
You sound like my Fred again.
I feel like your old Fred again, and not so old. I'm aware of blood coursing through my veins. My heart is pumping, my brain moving and reacting. Look at me, Sarah. Is there a door in my back?
No. No, but how?
It's beyond me to explain, except every time before that ghoul stole another body, the soul was lost, till this time. Because there was already a body made in my image for my soul to invest.
Then you are my friend.
Thanks to God. Even my voice is back. Most of all, my voice. That's the greatest irony of all.
What do you mean, darling?
For months I've kept it from you. But now I don't need to anymore. He, Self, the professor, whatever he was or is, stole my body and left me the image to dwell in now. And by so doing, saved my life and condemned himself. The body he left me is new and capable of long life. My body that he stole has less than a month to live. It has... I had incurable cancer of the larynx.
The collapse of a star and his disappearance from the stage was a three-day wonder in the press. But the public is fickle. Within weeks, the great Janus was out of mind. Fred's in real estate now, happy to forget Janus the Great. And Sarah has provided a new member for the act, a lusty young son whose voice has all the range of his father's, at least in decibels, if not in trickery. I'll be back shortly.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals his word. The book of Job says this about dreams. God speaks first in one way and then in another, but no one notices. He speaks in dreams and visions that come in the night. When slumber comes on mankind and all men are asleep in bed, then it is he whispers in the ear of man, or may frighten him with fearful sights and turn him away from evil doing to save his soul from the pit. So listen to your dreams. They could guide you to new and positive directions. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
For that mysterious and indefinable character, the professor, whoever he was, his car went out of control on the Harlem River Drive and plunged into the canal. Since he could not swim, whether or not his life might have been saved will never be answered, since by that time his larynx was so deeply infected by the growth that strangled it, he had no voice to cry for help. Our cast included Victor Jory, Amzie Strickland, and Brett Morrison. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Look here.
More doubloons. Wonder how many he's got.
Just a few, he says.
Old Silas Baxter's supposed to have had thousands of them. But even if that old room's full of them, I wouldn't go near it with an army.
Yeah. You gotten over your scare?
No, and I never will. That was the awfulest thing I ever saw, that poor heifer being pulled under the water by some thing.
Now, what did it look like?
What I saw of it was a kind of red color, round and fat, and it had horns kind of sticking out in front like feelers.
There ain't no such thing, Johnny.
Back up on that, Billy Lee. I saw the thing. You say the new owner's showing up tomorrow?
Well, I expect so.
Then let me tell you, stay away from the lake and keep them away from it, too.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Time Magazine and Buick Motor Division.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. The Soviet-backed popular movement in Angola claims to have captured Huambo, the capital of the Western-backed factions in the Angola Civil War. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Details are lacking in that bare-boned communique from the MPLA, published in Monday morning editions of the Financial Times of London. At the same time, two American correspondents report from Kinshasa, Zaire, that 14 British mercenaries who wanted to quit fighting beside the pro-Western forces and go home were executed by other British soldiers of fortune in Angola. The shootings were carried out, according to the reports, by a firing squad, which itself had machine guns and other weapons trained on it by other mercenaries to ensure the execution order was carried out. In London, the British organization recruiting mercenaries scoffed at the report, and 60 more of the fight-for-pay soldiers flew to Angola from London's Heathrow Airport. The number of uncommitted delegates has swelled as vote counting continues in the wake of Oklahoma's Democratic caucuses, with nearly 70% of the precincts reporting 35.64% of the delegates chosen are uncommitted. Fred Harris has crept to a razor-thin lead in a virtual dead heat with Jimmy Carter. Harris has 19.89% to Carter's 19.87. Lloyd Benson has 11.97%. George Wallace has 11.88%. Benson has canceled a scheduled Monday campaign visit to Missouri and is reported reassessing his position with an eye toward possibly dropping out of the race for the Democratic presidential nomination. President Ford has returned to the White House after a weekend of campaigning in New Hampshire. He wound up taking some heat from student dissidents at the University of New Hampshire, but boos and catcalls were drowned out repeatedly by applause. At one point, Mr. Ford told the student audience, "Blind criticism is no better than blind hate." Congressman John Conyers of Michigan, a member of the Black Political Caucus, has this assessment of whether involuntary school busing will become a major issue in the coming campaign.
It's got to. Here we're dealing with a change in our society that's 200 years late in coming. It's done through the vehicle, if you will, of the school desegregation. So it's not going to go away. It's a very deep problem, and although the bus is the symbol, underneath it we're trying to reorder the racial discrimination that has divided the country for 200 years. So, of course, it'll be here next year and maybe even 10 years from now.
Conyers appeared on ABC's Issues and Answers. More CBS News in a moment.
You're listening to the beginning of something. An automobile commercial? No. As a matter of fact, it's the beginning of a new phase in a man's life. A man who looks different, moves differently, speaks differently, because he was born with cerebral palsy. The new phase in his life began when he started the engine of that car and drove off with his brand new operator's license in his pocket. His name is Joe Elko, man with cerebral palsy, college student, and now automobile driver. It upsets some people to see Joe get into that car. In fact, it upset some people to see him at all. That's because they don't understand that although Joe may look different, inside he's no different than anyone else. He and United Cerebral Palsy are looking forward to the day when everyone will understand. In the meantime, Joe joins us in hoping you'll give generously to United Cerebral Palsy. They had a hand in helping him become what he is today, a man with a future.
A DC-6 crash-landed in a field near Los Angeles, killing three crewmen and injuring 10 firemen who went to the crash scene. Details from Ann Kestner of CBS radio station KNX in Los Angeles.
Aviation officials are saying it's miraculous that the death toll wasn't much higher. Those killed were crew members seated in the cockpit of the four-engine plane. The nose of the aircraft crumpled as it plowed through a wooden building and then hit a trailer on a municipal golf course. If it hadn't been for heavy rains, the course would have been crowded with weekend golfers. Three people, two of them stewardesses, got out alive. The DC-6 was heading for Ontario International Airport to pick up a load of passengers for a charter flight to Las Vegas. In addition to the three who survived the crash, 10 other persons were injured. Two firefighters are in critical condition, with burns suffered when the plane burst into flames as they were trying to reach the three men in the cockpit. This is Ann Kestner for CBS News, Los Angeles.
The number of dead counted in earthquake-devastated Guatemala continues to climb. The latest official toll has topped 15,000, and one senior Venezuelan relief official on the scene predicts the final death count will be somewhere between 20 and 50,000. Looting has become a problem, and five looters have been executed after orders were passed to police and soldiers to shoot looters on the spot. In Malaysia Monday morning, a bomb planted by communist guerrillas exploded, killing a police sergeant and injuring two policemen on patrol. 10 other booby traps were discovered and defused in follow-up operations. Some 2,500 guerrillas of the banned Malayan Communist Party are reported operating in the jungles on the Thai-Malaysian border. The generation gap was showing last night at the University of New Hampshire. A student who participated in a news conference President Ford conducted on the campus had a compliment, albeit a left-handed one, for First Lady Betty Ford. The youth, who identified himself as Dennis Moore, before posing his question, said, "I want to compliment Mrs. Ford tonight. She looks pretty well. A little old-fashioned, but okay." Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, the time, 11:06.